Hey, did you sleep in on
Thursday?
Thursday.
Well, don't worry, because here's the Jimmy and Nath catch up.
Were you sleeping in there, were you?
Yeah, I was having a quick nap.
Hey guys, catch uppers. This is Thursday show. Jim, your favourite thing that happened on Thursday show?
Oh man, that's tough.
It'll take a while.
I enjoyed telling you and producer Mason about my wisdom teeth experience.
Yeah, great story.
That was a bit of fun. Probably. Also, your holes in the crumpet. Really enjoyed figuring out how many holes are in the crumpet.
Harder than you would think. It took us the whole show to figure that out. Well, producer Mason the whole show to figure it out. He got there in the end.
We did nothing. We just got our producer to count holes in a crumpet. We looked at each other and went, our producer isn't doing anything. What can we get him to do?
I loved when we called one of our listeners in London to offer him some chicken, because poor old KFC, they're out of chicken, mate.
Yeah, nice to know we still got fans over in London.
Yeah.
In sunny old London.
Well, we got one fan. We had one go call.
To be fair, we had another fan, but she moved to Dubai. So we're back
Yeah. How's the chicken going in Dubai?
Don't know.
Guess we'll find out.
I missed the Dubai chicken story.
Enjoy the podcast.
We're playing a new game.
Whose lie is it anyway?
Basically how this works is Jimmy and I, we take turns telling each other supposed truths. The first person to be caught out lying loses. Jim, you ready to go?
Yes.
You want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Lie or truth, Nath? I currently don't own a car.
I live with you. We've got one garage. My car's in that garage.
But maybe I own a secret car. I could be Batman, and I own the Batmobile.
No, I think you're telling the truth. I think that's true.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
I don't own a car. I'm not Batman either.
Jim.
Yeah.
When I was younger, I used to enter kite flying competitions down by the beach.
Was that it? Okay.
That was it. I'm also Batman.
Yeah, you look like the type of dude that flies a kite.
Why is that?
Got a certain look about you. You look at people and you go, hey, they fly kites. Yeah, I'm going to go, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. Well done.
I knew it. Kite fly. Nath.
Yeah.
Lie or truth? What could it be? I was a contestant on America's Got Talent.
You went to America and you lived there for a year.
2 years.
2 years. That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to say you were a contestant.
Would I have enough talent to be on America's Got Talent? Or maybe I didn't have talent.
Yeah, maybe that's why you got flipped off.
I just auditioned. Kicked me out.
True.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Okay. Jim.
I didn't win, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Just want to clarify that for everyone. I was on it. Didn't win.
Jim, I once tried out for a role as an MTV presenter, but never got past the online applications.
Well, then you wouldn't try out for it, would you?
No, I did try out. But I applied online and sent in my video application.
Oh, okay, but you never got past
never
that.
Never got a call back.
I thought you were saying you never even applied.
They actually never even emailed me back. I never even got a no.
So you did an online...
Video.
Video, and you sent it to them.
Did it with my webcam.
Well, they say people who fly kites try to get on MTV. Because it's just a certain type of person that does it. So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well done. So, still haven't heard anything back from MTV.
I'm waiting, okay. Patiently.
Lie or truth, Nath? I was offered. And we lost music.
There we go.
I was offered the lead role of Titanic, Jack Dawson, who was later played by Leonardo DiCaprio. I was offered that role originally, and I turned it down for Leo. I was a child actor. So I was 8 when they offered me the role. Just in case people are wondering, Jim would have been young. Yeah, 8. But I was a great child actor.
That's a lie.
Yeah. Nath, some sad news now. For those of you that have been listening to the show, our producer Mason, Toucan Mason, he's leaving us for a week. He leaves us today. He gets his wisdom teeth out tomorrow, and then he has a week off.
Yeah.
He's in the studio now. Producer Mason, how are you?
Well, I'm feeling good. I imagine tomorrow, though, I won't be feeling the best after I get my operation.
I've prepared a song for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Based on my wisdom teeth.
Goodbye, my mason.
Yeah.
Goodbye, my friend. You have been the one. Yeah. You have. I totally didn't make that up.
I was going to say, I thought you had something a little bit better, but thanks.
That's what he did on America's Got Talent.
Mace, are you scared? Are you nervous? You're getting all four wisdom teeth out.
I'm feeling fairly nervous. Don't really care, though, because I'm going to be knocked out for it.
Oh, so you're not getting them out in the chair? No, it's an operation.
Nah, you're getting the operation. Yeah. What is it that scares you about it, mate?
That someone is literally cutting your gum open. I don't know. Is that scary?
Don't think of it like that. Think of it like a piece of Lego. You're unplugging Lego pieces. They just pull it out.
Why are my teeth Lego? I think that's a horror movie in itself.
No, it just could be nicer to think about than getting a scalpel and cutting your mouth open. Because that's what's happening.
Nath, also in recently you went to the dentist and you've got to get your wisdom teeth out later in the year.
Yeah, I've got to get mine out in October.
Are you nervous?
Well, I wasn't until we started talking about it. I was trying. I thought this was all about Mason. Well,
people have been telling me the horror stories. Have you heard some of them?
No. What have you got?
Oh, I won't go into details because I don't want to scare the entire population.
I'm glad you brought it up, Mace, because I've had my wisdom teeth out.
Yeah.
I've had all four out. And, you know, Mace, you're getting yours out tomorrow. Nath, you're getting yours out later in the year. Mm. And it is a quite common procedure. So I thought I could share the story of what happened when I got my wisdom teeth out next. Right. Just as a little bit of a PSA, Mace.
Is it a bit of a horror story? Or?
It's nothing to do with my teeth. It's more to do with being under the anaesthesia.
It's a nice story. It'll make you feel good.
Are you sure?
No.
I don't like the look on your face.
I actually don't know the story. It's probably horrible.
Please don't.
I'm telling my wisdom teeth story next.
It is Jimmy Nath on Hit 100.9. His Major Lazer.
Don't make me cancel my operation. It's high sometimes,
you know. Look, Producer Mason is here. Producer Mason, you're leaving us for a week because tomorrow morning you're getting your wisdom teeth out.
I am.
And you're a bit nervous about it, aren't you?
Yeah, fairly nervous.
And, Nath, you've got to get your wisdom teeth out later in the year in October.
Yeah, October. I've got to get all four out too.
And I've had my wisdom teeth out, so I thought I could tell you a bit of a story, boys and ladies and gentlemen and kids listening in their cars, about what happened when Uncle Jim got his wisdom teeth out.
I feel like I want to sit like down in a futon couch or something and listen to this story.
I feel like I don't want to hear him refer to himself as Uncle Jim.
Yeah. Oh, you
go
get
over
that.
Here and sit in Uncle Jim's lap.
Hey, I live with him. I'm going to live with Uncle Jim.
Look, right now, this is what happened. So I got my wisdom teeth out. I went in to get surgery done. So, you know, you go under and you don't even know what's happening. Because I've known people have had it in the chair, but I just don't think you want to get that done. And, Mace, you're not getting that done.
No, I don't think they do it that much anymore.
No, so what happened was I went to the hospital and it was the cricket was on. I'm a bit of a cricket fan. Mm. It was a one-day game, Australia, New Zealand. And I'm like, oh, I'd really want to watch the game, but I've got to go under. It's day surgery. So, you know, you go under. Anyway, so you have a lot of anaesthesia. They put you under. They put you on the happy gas. Mm. So when you wake up, you don't really know what's happening. So I've woken up and I'm pretty out of it. And I'm in my little hospital bed and, you know, my mouth's quite sore, but I don't know because I'm out of it.
Were you in your own hospital room by yourself or did you have other people with you?
No, it was, you know, like they you have the curtains that separate you from other people.
Right.
Like a little wall.
So there's no family members in there with you?
No, one's there.
And you didn't spring for the private room?
No, couldn't afford that, mate. Wasn't working in radio then. So I get up and I'm totally out of it and I walk into the main reception of the hospital. So there's all people there waiting for their loved ones and stuff, getting surgeries and stuff down. Now, I must stress, I'm wearing a robe.
Yep.
So at the back, you can see my bare bum.
Right.
It's hanging in the breeze.
No undies?
No undies, no.
Bums
out. I don't know what happened to the undies.
Why did they take your clothes off for a tooth operation?
Oh, you don't...
That's a different story, but anyway.
Jimmy's got teeth in weird places.
I'm only getting this tooth operation done if I'm nude. And so then I don't know where I've got the money from. I've gone over to the vending machine. Yeah. I've got a can of Sprite out. I'm standing in the middle of the hospital reception drinking this Sprite, remembering my mouth's completely numb, so I can't drink the Sprite. So I'm basically pouring the Sprite into my mouth, down on front of me. There's just Sprite dribbling all down my front. My bum's hanging out while I'm watching the cricket, and I'm like, go Australia!
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, so then some nurses usher me back into my room, and they're like, come on, mate, you got to sit down. You're a bit out of it. And at the time, I had really dry lips.
Yeah.
So, I've sort of passed out and I've woken up and there's a nurse, a lovely nurse, and she's putting lip balm on my lips.
Right.
And in my state, I've thought she wants to kiss me.
As you do.
As you do. I'm completely out of it.
Yeah. Was she a good-looking nurse?
Yeah, she was quite pretty.
Okay.
Now, this stage, my mum's...
Hang on, you were out of it. You have no idea what she looks like.
No, I
could have been your dad for all you know.
I went back to apologise later, so I do know how she looked, because my mum's come to pick me up. So mum's sitting on the other side.
Yeah.
The nurse is there putting the lip balm on, and I think, oh, this lovely lady wants to kiss me. So I've leant in to kiss her.
All right.
While you're in the bed.
While I'm in the bed. And what does she do? Obviously pulls away from me.
Yeah.
She just goes, well, what are you doing?
Where did she leant in? No, this is exactly what I wanted.
So then I've proceeded to try and grab the nurse to pull her in to give her a kiss.
Like it's getting aggressive, kind of.
Mum started hitting me. She's like, Jimmy, what are you... Stop that. Stop it. What are you doing? So my lesson here for you, Mace, tomorrow to get your... wisdom teeth out.
Yeah.
Is maybe you want to ask to be strapped down to the bed so you can't move.
I don't think I need it. I think that's just you being a creeper.
Poor Jimmy's
Uncle Jim.
Jimmy's been married ever since to this nurse as well, so it's been beautiful.
Well, we've had a happy life together. Nath, please welcome back to the studio, producer Mason.
Toucan.
Cheers, buddy. Look, I just wanted to raise a quick point with you guys, more specifically Jimmy.
Yeah.
I've noticed your voice sounds really familiar and really, I can really compare it to somebody else.
So you're saying, Mason, you found my celebrity voice doppelganger?
Yeah, pretty much. Every time I hear Jimmy talking, I think of this celebrity.
Did you find this person by accident or did you go looking for a celebrity doppelganger voice to Jimmy?
No, I already knew about this celebrity.
Right.
Would you like to know who it is?
Yeah, who is it?
It is Steve Baxter. Who you would know as one of the investors on Shark Tank.
Oh, this is a
Shark
Tank.
You aware of Steve Baxter?
Yeah, I know Steve.
He's the one with the glasses, grey hair, very skinny.
I mean, looks exactly like me too.
It might actually be Jimmy.
I think he's 46 years old.
You've actually got me, guys. I am also Steve Baxter on Shark Tank. Yeah, I'm stitching you up. Jimmy's not a real person.
I'm telling you. Have we got some audio of Steve Baxter talking?
Yeah, this is Steve.
The latest for Warrior for Telstra, though, is via an accelerator program, Muru D.
The latest from the Telstra program is the accelerator program, Muru D.
Let me hear that again.
The latest for Warrior for Telstra, though, is via an accelerator program, Muru D.
Oh, yeah, I hear it.
Now, Steve sounds a little bit more kind of whistly just because it's a bit older.
Mm.
But you have the same...
Is whistly the technical term?
Well,
how do you sound? Oh, whistling. He's not whistling.
The elderly.
Telstra.
A little bit. I think you sound a lot like him. You could potentially be his son.
Daddy?
Maybe you are.
I've uncovered the truth.
No, I know who my father is. Shout out to Graham.
I want to play a game next. We'll go to this song, and then after this, I want to play a game with you, Nath. I want you to work out. We're going to play you a couple of audio grabs, and I want you to work out, is it Steve or is it Jimmy?
Okay. All right. We'll do that next. The Steve-Jimmy game. Which voice is which?
We're going to name it that on the spot? Or?
Yeah, that's what it's called.
What's the name of it?
It's the Steve-Jimmy game. Do that next. It's hits.
Nath, right now, though, producer Mason's in the studio. Producer Mace, how are you, bud?
Yeah, good.
Just a reminder, you're out for a week and your wisdom teeth, so we won't have you for a week.
Yes. Sadly missed.
Yeah. A lot of people aren't going to tune in.
Yeah.
Well, I might not even show up. If you're not here,
we should all
the show's cancelled.
Hey, look, producer Mace, you found my celebrity voice doppelganger.
Yes.
So it's me and Steve Baxter.
This is freaky.
From Shark Tank.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you sound exactly like Steve to the point where sometimes when you are talking on the radio, I think it's the Nathan Steve show.
Well, that's got a better ring to it.
Nathan Steve, no, it doesn't.
Everyone loves a Steve.
Everyone knows Steve.
Everyone should have a Steve in their life.
But anyway, so I wanted to play a game with Nath this morning. I've got a couple of audio grabs here, and I want you to work out which person it is. Is it Steve or is it Jimmy that's talking?
All right, okay.
I'll get you to fire off the first one.
All right, here's the first one.
NBN and Telstra need to get on the same page to accelerate the process.
All right, I need some thinking music.
That's the Shark Tank music.
All right, I'm going to say that first one. That's Jimmy.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay, great. Cool.
Okay.
One from one.
You got me.
All right, here's the second one.
Okay, so now it's cool and sexy to be associated with the startup community.
Sounded like my laugh in the background. Was that you?
No, that's me.
Oh, right, okay.
I need something in music. I'm going to say Steve. That one's got to be Steve.
Yeah, it's
correct. Yeah, Steve. Yeah, okay, cool.
I don't think you needed the stinky music for that.
No, I don't need the stinky music. All right, here's the third one. Steve or Jimmy?
Steve or Jimmy.
We need to focus on the youth and what they need from startups. Oh.
That's a tricky one.
That's a hard one. Hard one. Can I hear it again?
No.
No.
Oh, no!
Okay, all right. All right.
We need to focus on the youth and what they need from startups.
Can see what I mean? Are you seeing it now that you don't know who it is?
Can I picture Janine Ellis and Naomi Simpson next to that person talking?
For those of you that don't watch Shark Tank, that's the other people on Shark Tank.
Oh, are they?
Oh, they're friends of yours.
Oh, I've never heard of them.
Come on, quick.
Jimmy.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Yeah. But see, it got you.
I had to slow down for a little bit. All right, here's the last one.
This is the final one.
This is to get four from four, Nath. Yeah. You know you're Jimmy.
Well, at least I've got to listen to you every day.
Okay. I just find it interesting that Nath's 120 kilos.
Any idea who that one is?
That's got to be Steve Baxter, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Five from five.
Four from four, you mean?
Can't count.
Let's talk the Queen. Jim, yesterday the Queen has been all over the news because she attended Fashion Week in the UK, sat in the front row next to fashion icon Anna Wintour, the lady who always wears the glasses.
Do you think that she sat front row because she's the Queen? So yeah. What I'm asking is, she didn't tell anyone she was going, and then she just rocked up, walked to the front row and went, I'll be sitting here.
Oh, do you reckon she kicked somebody out?
Well, not even kicked them out. She just walked up and goes, I will be sitting in the front row, and then waits for someone to get up, and she takes their seat.
And one. Well, the thing is, I'll show you the picture. There's a picture of the Queenie in the front row.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
She's sitting on a royal cushion. Have you noticed that? She's the only one sitting on a cushion. So I think you're exactly right. I think she's walked to the front because surely she doesn't carry her own cushion.
No, now I really hope she carried her own cushion, walked to the front row and goes, I will be sitting here on my cushion. Someone please stand up for your queen.
And what do you think about Anna Wintour? She didn't take her glasses off.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me. Fashion people do that.
I know that's your thing, but if you're next to the queen.
Yeah, no, it's just fashion people, mate. They're a bit odd. Like, look at Alex Perry. The dude's always got sunglasses on his head.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Like when
even sunny man.
No, and like constantly on his head.
And you don't wear them?
Like, I don't mind, like, celebrities are really big, like they wear sunglasses all the time. But Alex Perry's the weird one because he's just wearing them on his head. Yeah. It's like, mate, take them off. Take them off.
I'll tell you what, though, I am proud of Queenie. She looks great. She's got a little blue frock on. She looks lovely.
She always dresses very well, the Queen. Mm. I'll give her that.
Look, the media's been going crazy because they're like, I can't believe the Queen showed up to Fashion Week, blah, 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 blah.
Mate, it's going nuts. Everyone's like, look at the Queen at Fashion Week. And a lot of people saying, what's she doing there?
Mm. Here's what I thought. I've come up with a few other options where she should have been. Because I don't think Fashion Week, probably not the best place for the Queen. She's got other Queenie things to do. Would you agree?
Mm. Well, yeah. Well, what are your suggestions?
All right, here's some of my suggestions where the Queen should have been aside from Fashion Week. Taking her corgis for a walk. Who's looking after them?
Yeah. There's nothing like walking your dog.
Has she
cleaning out with the corgs.
Has she left them in the carriage with the window down a little bit? Or where are the corgis?
She tied them to a pole outside.
Well, she's the Queen. Stay. Bring them in and attach them to your front seat.
Yeah, no. You know I what like I mean? That one, yeah.
Modelling for updated coin and note pictures. Because obviously she's on the coins and the notes. Maybe she... I mean, they're a bit out of date.
Yeah, no.
Queenie's changed a bit.
Some new ones. Yeah, okay.
She could have been doing that, wasting her time.
I don't need your commentary, mate.
Sorry,
I just need you to tell me.
Yeah,
it's not about you.
Knitting Meghan Markle's wedding dress, because obviously she's getting married to Harry.
Yeah, but...
She's a grandma.
We don't have confirmation she's good at knitting, though.
Ah, but she'd give it a go.
Yeah, but I won't be wearing it. I mean, I could be wearing a dress at my wedding. I'm not sure. I'm probably going to go with a suit, but Jimmy could be wearing a dress. I don't want someone who doesn't know what they're doing making my threads.
But I'm sure she'll, even if she stuffs up, she'll just pay somebody to do it for her, and she just gets a nice little photo with her knitting needles.
Are you just making a joke about old people and they know how to knit?
Not at all, mate.
You're above that, mate.
Not at all.
You wouldn't reach that low.
Here's the last one.
Just grabbing the low-hanging fruit.
Here's the last one. Just driving around in her carriage. Because I don't know about you, but if I had a golden horse-drawn carriage, I'd just be in it all the time. Driving around, doing donuts in it.
I don't know if you can do donuts in a horse-drawn carriage.
Have you tried?
Yeah, I have.
Jim, there's a new cosmetic surgery craze going around, and it involves reshaping your belly button. Just let that sink in for a little bit. People are getting their belly buttons done now.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
This is it. This is where society falls apart at the seams.
That's where we go downhill.
So our guys start looting. Just go nuts. Light a fire. What are we? What have we become?
Cosmetic surgeries, surgeons, they've come out and said that apparently the interest has doubled in people wanting their belly buttons done in the last year. So this is off the back of people like Emily Ratajkowski, the famous model, and Jessica Simpson. Obviously.
They haven't had theirs done.
No, they haven't had theirs done, but because they're out and about all the time, people see photos of them, people are wanting their belly button. So here's a picture of Emily Ratajkowski. Now, her belly button is called the...
I've seen plenty of photos of Emily Ratajkowski, mate, but I appreciate you for printing it off.
It's got a name. It's called the Hooded Oval. Now, can you describe that belly button for me?
It's a belly button!
It doesn't look any different, does it?
I don't think belly buttons look any different. I think the only way to describe belly buttons is innie or outie.
Yeah.
And that's it. What did you say this thing's called?
A hooded oval. That's what people are paying for. People are paying big money.
People walking in to get their belly button pierced. Hi, could I please get my hooded oval pierced?
Apparently $16 billion has been spent on belly button reshaping in the last year.
That is a joke. That's an absolute... No, I've never looked at anyone...
It's a belly button.
...and gone, oh, you've got a good or bad belly button. I look at it and go, it's a belly button.
But if anything, they're a little bit weird because when you think about it, it's a hole. It's a hole in you.
What do you mean?
The belly button is like a hole in you, really.
Yeah, no, but what do you mean?
Like, they're weird to look at, don't you think?
Oh, I don't, like, no, I don't just think they're belly buttons.
Yeah, they're weird.
I don't think they're weird. I think they're nothing. I think they're absolutely nothing.
But
they're a thing that's on you.
Mm.
It's like, I'm not judging someone and going, oh, I'm going to date this girl on a belly. Couldn't even tell you, my partner Courtney, I couldn't even tell you what her belly button looks like.
If she's got an innie or an outie?
I wouldn't have any idea, because a belly button's a belly button.
She's got an innie,
Thanks, mate. You don't judge someone on their belly button. This is ludicrous.
Well, see, that's the thing. You should be proud of your belly button. You should own it, whether you have an innie or an outie or a hooded oval or a caped triangle.
I'm just going to say I'm banning you from saying hooded oval on this show. Hey, look, over in sunny London, for a third day running, half of the 900 KFCs are closed. Mm. You might have seen this in the news already. It's been floating around for a few days, but all these KFCs have no chicken over in London. It's absolutely devastating. They still don't have any chicken. It's the chicken apocalypse, Nath.
No chicken.
In some stores, in one store in London in particular, they're advertising a limited menu. They go, yeah, we're open. We've got a limited menu. And when you get there, they're only selling chips.
Chips and gravy? Or just chips?
I didn't get confirmation on gravy or not, but they definitely got chips.
Or mash? Because if they've run out of gravy and mash, I mean, close your doors, guys.
But really, can you even keep your doors open as a KFC without chicken? Because the name, Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well, is it...
Like,
you really can't, can you?
Like, I know...
You've got to change it to Kentucky Fried Chips.
They have drinks, the chips, the potato and mash.
Some people might just go there for the experience, you know? The hope to meet the colonel. Put the bucket on their head.
I think you've got to shut the doors. I think the ones that are keeping them open is like false advertising. It's like, hey, we're open. Oh, sweet.
But you're getting people through the door.
We've got no chicken. Oh, god damn it.
Do you think people walk out when they don't get chicken, or you're in there, so you may as well order what they have? Because I'm not a big walker-outer.
Well, this is the thing. It's KFC. It's Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm not going to KFC for not chicken.
Yeah.
So if I walk in and I had no chicken, I'm not going to order chips and gravy.
So you would. I'd leave. Would you kick up a stink?
I wouldn't kick up a stink.
I'd throw a serviette on the ground.
A wet wipe.
Flip one of those trays.
I'd love
spill somebody's gravy.
The best part about KFC is the wet wipes.
Yeah.
It's just a fun way to finish a meal.
And convenient.
And Nath, look, we've got a big fan of the show over in London. His name is Rob. We call him Rob the Chicken Guy. Loves his chicken. So I thought we'll get him on the phone next. We'll chat to him and we'll see how he's living with our chicken.
All right, we'll do that next.
Nath, over in sunny London, we were just talking about it, for a third day running, half of its 900 stores, KFC, they're shut, mate.
Devastating.
It's just huge
news. It's heartbreaking. People are crying. People are leaving London because of this.
Mate, half of 900, that's
450.
Good on ya.
Yeah, I just want to do this for a job.
Couldn't do that.
Yeah.
450 KFC stores are shut, so we've reached out to Rob. He's over in London. He's a big fan of the show. Rob, are you there, mate?
Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, you sound like you're from London.
He's definitely English.
Perfect. You nailed it.
All right. Thanks, mate. Thanks for coming. Rob, mate, talk to us. How are you dealing with having no KFC?
Terribly, boys. I'm inconsolable.
Mm-hmm. Do you go to KFC often, Rob?
At least 6 or 7 times a week. I mean, It's not a week if you haven't been 6 or 7 times a week.
Mm. Well, Rob, some of the KFCs are still open. They're just selling chips. Are you still going in for the chips or are you looking for your chicken elsewhere?
Yeah, look, I'm going in and, you know, just making sure that they remember my face. But I'm certainly, you know, it's disappointing not to come away with, you know, at least a popcorn chicken. So, you know, chips and gravy is fine.
Rob, obviously everybody knows the iconic, the KFC bucket is well known to the image of KFC. Do you know if in London they're thinking of changing it to just a small packet of chips because they don't have any chicken to go in the bucket, or are they putting chips in the bucket now?
Look, times are tough. So, yes, the chips are now in the bucket.
Oh, no.
Rob, are you worried that KFC may never have chicken again and they may have to rename themselves KF?
No, look, we have a thriving livestock industry in the UK, so it'll become something else, you know, Kentucky Fried Sewer Rat or something like that.
Bat, the chicken of the cave.
What about getting cows? And then they can keep the C. It's Kentucky Fried Cow.
Or Kentucky Fried M, Kentucky Fried Miscellaneous.
Yeah.
So then you cover off all bases.
And then you can't get in trouble when you run out because it's miscellaneous. It can be anything.
Precisely.
You're a genius. Well, is this the colonel we've got on the line, is it?
We've rung the British colonel. Rob, what about, are you worried other stores could follow suit? Like, are you worried that McDonald's could stop serving Donald's? Like, it just becomes the MC.
Look, I've been worried for years that the Hamburglar will finally get his way and run off with all the hamburgers. So, look, it's a possibility. Look, anything after this, anything can happen.
Is this some sort of fast food war? Has the Hamburglar gone over to KFC and stole their chickens?
Oh, maybe. Well, maybe.
Rob, this is what we were thinking. If we were to send you some chicken, would you accept it on behalf of the people of London? Just we here in Hobart, we wanted to help you guys out.
Oh, boys, if you sent us some chicken, that would make a lot of people happy over here.
Now, do you want us to send actual chickens, or would you like some actual KFC? Because we have KFC chicken. It's already ready to go.
For the purposes of freshness, look, if you can send the actual chickens, that would be wonderful.
Rob,
yeah,
I can go a step further, mate. I can send eggs. And when one day they will hatch and become chickens.
Fast forward 24 years, he's still sitting next to this little egg inside.
Well, look, just see which one comes first.
Oh, wow. Oh, Robbie, that's why you are our man in London.
A huge news now for race car enthusiasts. Daniel Ricciardo, a huge fan of the show. He's an Aussie. He races for Red Bull.
Yeah. Good-looking rooster, too.
Oh, very good-looking man. Mm. If you've never seen a photo of Daniel Ricciardo, I strongly suggest you hop online and have a look. But, yeah, the big Daniel Rick, he crashed Red Bull's new blue car.
Blue car is a brave choice, isn't it?
Yeah, so they've come out with a new blue car for their new season, and on the first day, Dan's crashed it.
Devastating. Is it a bad crash too?
Well, this is the thing. So the team has said it's only minor damage, but he basically got in the new blue car and everyone's taking photos and he goes, look at me in the new blue car.
Well, he took his hands off the wheel.
No.
Sorry, Jimmy in the studio just had his hands over the air saying, look at me. I'm like, I wonder why he crashed.
Maybe put your hands on the wheel, Dan, it wouldn't happen. And so he's driven off on the track and then, yeah, he's wandered back. No car. Just like, well, there you go.
There's... Where's the car, Dan? Yeah. Oh, somewhere over there. I just parked it.
And he just goes, thanks, everyone, for coming. Had a really good session. Really enjoyed it. Everyone's going, where's the car? And he goes, what car?
I just...
Didn't you know? I'm also a magician.
I was walking. Yeah, no, I parked it over there, just upside down next to a tree.
Team spokesman said, there'll be no issues for the first race of the year. We'll be fine. Dan's just going to get an Uber.
Around the track.
Yeah. Hey, what are you rate? Oh, I'm just waiting for Uber to pick me up.
It's not late. Yeah, right. Okay. Do they have a backup car?
Yeah, they usually have two cars.
Okay. So he can jump in the backup.
Well, no, because I think there's two competitors, two cars. They said it's fine. They'll fix it. But, I mean, it's not good. On the first day, you smash the new blue car. Because
yeah.
They made a big thing because it hasn't been blue before.
Mm.
So it's a nice blue and black colour. And they went, look at this new colour for the new season. It's beautiful. Everyone come down, take some photos, look at the new blue car.
Next thing, Dan's just walking back.
So literally,
hey guys, come. Thanks for coming.
A devastating on the first day. The first would be the first drive of this car, probably.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
a track.
Well, it's the first time Dan's driven it, so Dan's got in it. You know, and look, to be fair, like you want to at least you crashed the first day. You yeah. know what I mean? Like it wasn't a race. I just can't.
Well, who knows? Would you call it a first day blue?
Yes.
Yeah. First day
blue. Blue. Look, we'd love to know your first day blue. So 13, 12, 16. What happened to you on the first day of work? It might have been you, might have been someone you know. We'd just love to get your first day stories. 13, 12, 16.
Yeah, maybe you did something embarrassing on your first day, came in the wrong outfit. Who knows what'll happen?
I slipped in on our first day.
There you go. 13, 12, 16. What happened on your first day? Give us a buzz. It's Jimmy Nath on Hit 100.9.
Nath, Daniel Ricciardo, Aussie superstar race driver, he crashed Red Bull's new Formula One blue car on the first day.
Yeah, first day blues.
Yeah, yeah. Took it out. there's no footage of the crash. So Red Bull, who he races for, have admitted that the crash happened, but he just wandered back, no car. And
he could have got away with it.
No,
there's no footage.
Yeah, he could have just driven it off, come back and be like, well, there's the car, guys. Thanks for coming.
Someone stole it. If it's crashed, it wasn't me.
We'll see you soon.
We just asked 13, 12, 16, first day blues. What happened on your first day? Let's go to Maddie from Moona. Maddie, what happened on your first day?
G'day, guys. It's just a bit like the car race, I guess. Mine's a bit bluey as well. My mum actually got me some brand new Nike Zoom Waffle shoes, which are like running shoes.
Yeah,
right
yeah. Shoe, yeah. The Waff.
Yeah.
It's not and, called the Waff. Like
to racing people, it's called the Waff, isn't it, Maddie?
Yeah, the Waff.
The Waff.
A few hundred bucks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. What happened?
So I was, in grade 10, it was a Division 1 100 metres.
Yeah.
So it was like the speedsters, you know. Everyone's got a big build-up for it, and I prepared myself very well, and I thought I'd been with a very good chance, obviously, if Mum's going to buy me such a good pair of shoes, you know, for a good reason.
Yeah.
It was on the track, so I was in the school. I was on the grass, not at the domain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And pretty much, you know, as soon as the gun's about to start, I banged the gun, and I literally fell left foot forward straight on my face.
Oh, no.
Straight on my face.
I was, Maddie,
the whole track. Have you seen the cool runnings? You know how the people fall over?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was you.
Mine was at the start and I watched them all go to the finish.
Did you even get up and try to keep running, Maddie? Or you were like, nah, I'm done, I'm walking away?
I literally just laid there and just watched them all at the finish. It didn't go, like, you know, these guys, like, you know, 12, 13 seconds.
Yeah.
No, you shouldn't have been wearing the
by the time you hit the ground, it's like 7 to get back up.
Thank you, Maddie. Cameron.
I was worried Maddie's shoes weren't going to fit. I thought that was going to be the thing.
Cameron, what happened on the first day?
My brother had just bought a brand new ute, and he asked me if I could take for a test drive with him, and I said, yeah, no worries. Mm. We just got home. We went for a drive out some back road up past Oakland, so I put it through a fence.
Oh, no. So you've done a Daniel Ricciardo. You've crashed the car on the first day.
Yeah, I basically did a Daniel Ricciardo. First day he got it, put it straight through a fence.
What did it was your brother's car, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was my brother's vehicle.
And what did he say?
He wasn't impressed at all.
Jim, for the whole 3 hours of this show, you and I, we've been trying to figure out how many holes are in a crumpet.
Well, to be fair, we haven't been trying to figure out how many holes are in a crumpet.
Well, I mean, there's someone in our team has. It's been producer Mason, but you know what? We work together.
It's just interesting because, you know, crumpets are full of holes and we just thought, delicious breakfast treat. Yeah. Let's just see how many holes are in there.
Because no one has ever answered that question, really. Yeah.
And that we've got producer Mason because you and me aren't going to sit there and count the holes
in a crumpet. Oh, we don't have time, mate. We're doing a radio show.
Yeah. We're busy, but producer Mason's sitting out there on his hands doing nothing.
And, you know, and I've given him some extra crumbs as well. So he's counting one and he can eat the others.
We've given him breakfast, lunch, dinner, and a fun little job for his morning.
And I believe we've got some updates on our Instagram at Jimmy Nath as well.
Well, yeah, you can head there to see the said crumpet. Because every crumpet's different. Mm. Some are very holy. Some unholy at all.
Well, some of the ones in this packet, I would argue they had none. They look like a flat bit of toast.
They look like bread. They look like bread. But if you want to see this crumpet, head to the Instagram at Jimmy and Nath.
Because we're going to throw it out to the audience. 13, 12, 16, give us a call. Hazard a guess. How many holes are in this crumpet? As Jimmy said, if you want to check out the crumpet, go to our Instagram at Jimmy Nath. But if you get it right or closest to without going over, we're going to give you a big prize too.
Yeah.
So do you want to hazard a guess, mate?
I'm looking at it.
Because we still don't know.
No.
Mason is the only one who knows. He's finished counting. Give me a nod if you finished counting. Yeah, he has.
He's finished counting. I reckon somewhere, and again, I've said this to you, Nath, I'm not very good at the guessing games.
Mm.
Like, you know, when jelly beans are in a jar at my primary school,
yeah.
I was either well under or well over. Yeah. So everyone listening, don't follow Uncle Jim, but I'm going 80.
80?
Yeah.
See, that to me seems quite under.
I mean,
I know you just said that. So you're living up to it.
Yeah, I'm consistent, if anything.
I'm going to go, I reckon, around 190. I changed it last minute. I was going to say 150, but I've gone up. 190.
I'm saying 500.
No, you can't change it. All right. 13, 12, 16. If you want to win some movie tickets, give us a call and just hazard a guess. Just have a guess. And the closest, you don't have to get it spot on, the closest will get it right. If you do want to check out the crumpet, go to our Instagram at Jimmy and Nath, and it could be you that wins the prize.
Yeah, we'll send you to Red Sparrow. It's got Jennifer Lawrence and Australia's very own Joel Edgerton. It's in cinemas March 1.
13, 12, 16. How many holes are in our crumpet? The winner is going to the movies. How good is that? It is Jimmy and Nath. Jimmy, just asked 13, 12, 16. How many holes are in our crumpet? Because you and I, and obviously producer Mason, we've spent the day trying to figure out how many holes are in the top of this crumpet.
Yeah, well, we haven't done anything, really. We just sent producer Mason out this morning and said, mate, we need you to count how many holes are in this crumpet.
He's been trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because not many people know that, and I don't think it's a question that's ever been asked before.
We don't have confirmation, but I'm quietly sure that no one's figured out how many, because every crumpet's different.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, this packet, some of them had no holes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Some of them looked flat.
They were solid. Because when we first opened the packet, I was like, do crumpets have holes in them anymore?
Well, that's the thing. I was worried. We were really underwhelmed because we were like, oh, we'll do this great idea. Let's count how many holes in the crumpet. We opened it up and it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
We've missed the crumpet band.
Yeah.
All right, well, what's your guess? Let's look in our guesses first.
I said, look, again, some past experiences doing the counting, you know, the jelly beans in the jar. Yep. I was always well under or well over. I've never got even close. And today, I've gone with 80 holes in the crumpet.
So you've gone with 80 holes. Yeah. I think I said 190, didn't I? 190.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a close without going over. Let's go to Hayley from Goodwood. Hayley, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're fantastic, Hayley. Now, Hayley, have you seen the crumpet on our Instagram, or are you just getting a blind guess?
I'm just having a blind guess.
Right. Are you much
I love
of a,
it. I love it.
are you much of a crumpet eater?
I used to be, and my in-laws love crumpets as well, so I'm hoping I do okay.
Okay, so you're around crumpets quite a bit. All right, Hayley, what is your guess?
Mine's 143.
143. Specific. I like it.
Yeah, very.
I like it. All right, Hayley, we'll consider that. Let's go to Melanie. Mel, how many holes do you think are in our crumpet?
I think 286.
286. That's a lot. That's bumped it up.
Considering I went with 80.
You feel bad now?
I feel...
Jimmy's freaking out.
I may have made a terrible mistake.
Mel, are you much of a crumpet eater?
Yes, I do love Vegemite on crumpets.
Ooh, did you have them for brekkie this morning?
I didn't know.
Oh, see, that would have really helped.
Melanie, I've never had Vegemite on a crumpet. Should that be something I do today?
Definitely. Give it a go.
All right, just for you, Mel, I'll give it a crack.
There you go. All right, and our final guesser. Adam, how many holes do you think are in our crumpet?
180.
All right, Adam, thank you very much. Okay, so we have Hayley on 143. Mel said 286. Adam said 189. Jim, you said 80.
Didn't Adam say 180?
It's written incorrectly.
It doesn't matter
what's... 180 is what Adam said. I said 190. Jimmy, you said 80.
Yeah.
We've got producer Mason in here. Mace, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Now you
tired, to be honest.
Tired from counting the crumpet?
That's correct. Yeah.
How's the counting been going?
Stressful. I've forgotten the count about 10 times.
All right. Well, I'll give you a drum roll and
Mace,
you reveal.
Put the people out of their misery. Say Jimmy's very close with 80.
People have been dying to know how many holes are in the crumpet, I'm sure.
Okay. How many holes are in our crumpet, Mason?
This is stupid. 307.
307? Whoa!
Yeah.
Are you sure you counted right?
Did you make that up?
I'll go double check.
No, okay, well, closes it out going over. Mel's our winner.
It's Melanie. Melanie, welcome to the show. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's awesome.
And you know what? We're going to send you the packet of crumpets as well.